Support for today's podcast comes from our good friends at Squarespace. That's right, Squarespace. Whether you're starting a new business, launching a creative product, count on Squarespace to help you create an eye-catching and professional website that stands out from the rest. Your website will essentially give the middle finger to every other website. Why? Because you have beautifully designed templates, customizable features, and everything you need, whether it's a landing page, a professional blog. Your next move is about to become a motherfucking reality. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase, plus a free domain. Hey, let me tell you about your sex life. It is about to get an upgrade. That's right. You are about to start boning in the right zone. That's right. Skin Condoms knows a thing or two about doing it. And by doing it, I mean sex. And they do it so good because their condoms are made with polyisoprene material called Skin Feel. And Skin Condoms are softer and more comfortable than traditional latex, giving you and your partner a great natural feel, all while providing the same level of protection against pregnancies and STIs. It's just as good as latex. Plus, they're completely safe for anyone with a latex allergy. So here's the deal. You're about to get cozy. Are you going to get one of those condoms that feels like a sandpaper on your thing? No. Get one of these nice skin feel condoms. Slip them on and have nice, consensual, safe sex, because there's one thing that people know about me. I am all about consensual and safe sex. I've made it part of my entire life. And don't forget, there's discreet shipping on this. So head on over to buycondoms.online to explore skin condoms, personal lubricants, and more. Use the code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get free shipping on your first order. So do it. Do it smooth. Do it right with Skin Condoms. It's the story of death, murder, torture, and revenge. For kids! We saw Surf Ninjas, so you know what that means.
Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Gaines and Street Fighter helped to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive, they call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth.
That's a good look.
And hello, people of Largo. We are live at Largo at the Cornet, our LA home, where they have amazing shows. If you're ever in LA, come check us out or come see amazing shows here. Tonight is a very important night. Tonight is a night where we talk about a movie of substance. We talk about a movie that examines things that Hollywood is always afraid to examine. Surfing Ninjas. And we are joined tonight by some of our favorite past guests, serving as my co-host for the absent June and Jason. I want to introduce you to them right now. Please welcome. Oh my gosh, you ready for this? From episode 11, The Tourist. Who was that, right? Who you know? He is a hilarious writer and actor. He wrote for Happy Endings. You can see him all the time on Snapchat being hilariously funny. He is also a lot on a Comedy Bang Bang. Please welcome Gil Azari. There he is. Welcome, Gil. Talking about this. Did you see Surf Ninjas in the theater?
I didn't see it in the theater, no.
Okay, so it's a home video rental for you?
Yes, it was. Blockbuster.
It has, like, this is the first time I saw this movie, but it does have, like, the most, like, kid-catching, like, cover box. Like, it is, like, Kids are surfing. Leslie Nielsen's on a surfboard.
It's mid-surf. It's a shot mid-surf.
They're in the middle of the barrel, are they?
Yeah, yeah.
And what would you say, would you say that surfing is really good in this? Like, photographically done? Like, really well captured?
Oh, absolutely not. No.
For a movie that calls itself Surf Ninjas, I would say it's probably the shittiest.
I mean, there's maybe 50 seconds of surfing in the entire movie.
A lot of ninjing, not a lot of surfing. From episode 132, Bloodsport. She is the star of Loosely Exactly Nicole. You can find that online right now. She performs at UCB. You saw her in Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Please welcome Nicole Byer. Welcome, Nicole.
Hello.
Did you ever know of Surf Ninjas before I put this DVD in your mailbox?
No. Never heard of it before in my life. And it really delivered.
You felt like the ratio of surfing and ninjing to you was okay.
Well, no. I mean, if we're going to get real, you said it was like 30 seconds of surfing. Yeah. Like, Rob Schneider never got on the surfboard. And you're the white man in the movie. What are you here for?
A lot of people... There's a lot of odd surfing choices in this movie. I mean, well, we'll get into it all. Rob Schneider, I really... I feel like we could spend a whole episode only talking about that character. I'm excited. Our final guest co-host tonight, he was in episode 6, Battlefield Earth. Episode 98, LOL with Miley Cyrus. He is in Transparent in the upcoming movie Baywatch and is doing a show with me called Drive Share, which is on Verizon Go 90. Please welcome Rob Hubel! Welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
This is, I have to say, I'm so excited that you're all here to talk about this movie. I've saved Surf Ninjas for the right occasion, and I can't think of a better threesome to watch this with, because we're kind
of
like
the three
surf
of
ninjas.
Us specifically. Yeah.
The three of you, when I could pick my favorite people, because I feel like, you know, we're kind of like the Surf Ninjas.
We go surfing once a week together. Mm-hmm.
We also do moto surfing.
Yeah. Moto surfing.
Cars.
All right, so...
You asked how many people have seen the movie?
Everyone, yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
And I say to all of you, Kwon-Soo!
Kwon-Soo! I haven't seen the movie, I read the book. So that's not in the book. So I don't
well, yeah, the book definitely does deviate a lot.
It's a lot different.
I gotta say, right off the bat, just generally, for a children's movie, it's very dark. Like if you just took out all the themes, I know I joked about it at the top, but it's like murder and revenge and houses are being burned down and parents are being kidnapped. Meanwhile, the main plot is children. Trying to be, people are trying to kill children. Mm-hmm. That's a lot for, a PG movie.
That's not your go-to theme for kids' movies, is, kids trying to almost get murdered.
Yeah.
By the way, the house that gets burned down gets exploded so nonchalantly.
Yeah.
We'll get into that, maybe.
Yeah,
but.
I mean, yeah, there's so much.
It's like, oh, I turned on the gas to blow up your fucking house. Now you have no choice but to come with me.
And did they have, neighbors? So many people must have died, and they just walked away.
Yeah, that was not a small explosion.
That
house
huge.
Fucking... That was, a Lethal Weapon 2 explosion.
Yeah.
I was saying to Gil, I don't think this is an inexpensive movie. This was a... I think they go to Thailand. Thailand,
they
and
do.
I was like,
I went to the Wikipedia page. They go to Thailand. Yeah. The budget is not there because I think they were embarrassed.
Yeah, no one can find the budget.
They spent this much and didn't make any money.
Like, I was trying to figure out where those huge stairs were in LA. Where is that?
Oh, I loved those stairs. Yeah. Every time you fell down, I laughed out loud.
So yeah. Hard.
But I mean, they tripled down on that joke. They're like,
he threw himself.
We got to use these stairs. I mean, look at these stairs. I mean, there's more than 15. We got to use them 3 times.
Just to pull it back, obviously, it's a seminal moment in film. when Ernie Ray's junior and senior get to work together. You get to see father and son.
Can you give me a little backstory? Because I'm not familiar.
Well, Ernie Reyes Jr., to me anyway, growing up, was the coolest because he was in all the karate movies, like Sidekick.
Okay.
And, like, you know, he would, like, and what else? I don't know. Any movie that was karate.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, he was in, yeah.
Yeah,
was he in any other surfing movies?
No, he is more.
So he's not really surfing in this movie.
No, he's more of like the.
He's standing there on like apple boxes as the camera pans past him in a parking lot, right?
You would think they could pay for at least one surf class for a movie called Surf Ninjas.
Probably.
Like, yeah, seems like. Let's get him on the board and we'll get one shot of them
in
the water.
Eddie Reyes Jr., the oldest brother?
Ernie Reyes Jr. is the old brother and his dad is the one with the eye patch.
Can I just say, I'm so mad that they made me watch almost an hour of that movie before he took his shirt off and was hiding all of those muscles. I was like, damn! I literally rewound it to be like, he's 15? Over and over and over again. He looks so good.
I will say that when he did take off his shirt, it was shocking.
Yes.
It was shocking.
I got slightly hard.
Yes.
I mean, he's just like, as a human being, you're like, oh, yeah, that's a perfect boy body.
See, maybe I'm just not sexual. I was just angry that he didn't fight for the first hour. Like, why isn't he fighting? That was me. But I guess, you know, he was pretty hot.
I think we have to talk about the trio of the film. Obviously, it's Ernie Reyes Jr. He has his brother Adam, right? Adam, and then. Their other friend...
Who's 32 years old.
Fucking...
He's so old in that movie.
Rob Schneider. And I looked and I said to myself, well, clearly this is before he got SNL. No! It was before his last year on SNL. He was on SNL from 89 to 94. This was in 93.
He's supposed to be playing a 15-year-old going on 16, and he literally looks like a dying cancer patient. In the first shot, he has like this like weird hat on, and he's like, he's like has a receding hairline. He looks so fucking, and his hair is dyed like such a shit pink.
Such a weird orange.
Yeah.
Like
it's like it's a Trumpy.
Yeah, it's like the color of like, you know, when you see like nuggets being made, like that pink sludge, that's the color of his hair.
And I feel like I feel like someone said, are we nervous that we have a 40-year-old man with these children? They're like, we'll dye his hair. Those fuckers won't know. Like, they're like, we'll young him up.
And they gave him those sideburns that go straight up the forehead.
Like, why not just make him the short order cook at the dad's restaurant that, like, pals around with the kids?
Because it makes more sense logically that his only bit is to think that he's the prince or whatever.
Yeah.
Literally, that's his only game in
like,
the whole
are
movie.
Are you stupid? Did you hit your head? But he didn't because he never surfed.
And the way, oh my God.
By the way, it was cool when they were surfing and they surfed into the bad guy with the spear gun.
Oh, yeah. And then he washes up on shore and then immediately goes away.
By the way, that shot, I thought to myself, because there's a shot where he washes up on shore, mm-hmm. and in that shot, there's a little kid and a dog mm-hmm. and a dead guy. And I thought that shot took like 2 weeks. To get that fucking dog and that fucking kid and that dead guy to wash.
And he washes onto shore and then right back.
But then the dog goes after him. Did the dog have a feast? What is that dog doing?
By the way, let's talk about how shitty the ninjas are that are sent to dispatch our surf ninjas. First of all, they attack in broad daylight and in blue outfits. They are the most aggressive. They're like, ninja, I believe, is about stealth.
Yeah, but all of the one of the worst parts of this movie, I would say, is the camouflage. Like, there's a shot of a Jeep at one point that's like camouflage that you can tell they painted like 3 minutes before they said action. It's like a guy just like spray painted some blue, and it's just like, and their outfits are, yeah, it's totally.
I was baffled by why they just never took action. They would stand, they would do these moves in front of like Rob Schneider for literally 15 seconds, and then he would like hit them with a plate, or they would have like guns and just never fucking fire them. Well, fucking do something.
Well, I feel like everything about them is wrong. Like, they travel around in an empty garbage truck, but there's only two ninjas in the back of the garbage truck. So the garbage truck comes in, and then like the door opens and two ninjas drop out. Like, just get a compact car, guys. Fucking drive a Kia around. You'll be fine. You'll be less noticeable than driving a giant truck. Like, they were bad ninjas. They attack in the middle of a classroom.
Yeah,
they attack
and nobody at his school. Noticed.
Yeah.
Nobody. That classroom was filled with kids. Nobody.
Yeah. I don't like these ninjas. I felt like we saw the beginning of Ghost Riding the Whip here. Because moto surfing, these kids love surfing, obviously, but they really love to surf in their Jeep. But it's very dangerous what they're doing.
There's a scene right after this where the cop has pulled over some other kids that were moto surfing, and they lie about it, but then he pulls out the paddle, so he's like, you know, I busted you. Like, that's the thing?
It's like
the paddle is the giveaway?
I don't get what paddling has to do with surfing. Why do they need paddles for
fucking...
It's not
like moto paddleboard.
Yeah.
But it's also like, that's the thing in Santa Monica? Like, we love to surf so much that when we drive half a mile from one location to the other, we have to mind the act of...
What we're going to do, yeah.
We got to be surfing at all times. Some form of surfing.
We got to get warmed up.
So obviously, if you're just joining us, these two children are being hunted down by ninjas. We don't know why.
How old is the older child?
He's 15. He's about to be 16.
But in real life, is he?
Oh, he's probably 29.
Yeah. That's a man, right?
Yes, that's a definite man.
I mean, look at those muscles.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
All man. He says something that's so kind of great, like in the beginning. They go into school here, and like he's like, oh, that's the thing. He's always like saying, like, I'm real smooth. He's not smooth.
No.
And he doesn't even say, like, I wrote down one of the lines, like,
all of their surf talk sounds like a 45-year-old white guy wrote that surf talk.
Yes.
You know, it's all like, hang loose, cool bro.
I wrote down, they use the word, the joke psych three times.
Oh my God. Which is a great joke.
It's a great joke. Comedy rule of threes.
Rule of threes.
Well, he says when he's going to school, he goes, yeah, I promised that I would perform a native ethnic dance. He doesn't label, like, you would never say a native ethnic dance. You would say, like, a Ponsu dance, a... You know, Taiwanese dance. You wouldn't say a native ethnic. You wouldn't just like leave that. Like, that's not like a catch-all. I thought that was an odd choice. It didn't narrow it down. And then also when he was like giving an example of his joke, he's like, you gotta be smooth. Like when your teacher asks you where Spain is, go, it could be anywhere. That's not a joke. Like, you had a chance to write this movie. You could have... It wasn't improvised. You could have gone back and like, well, yeah, let's like be like, I think it's where it rains on the plains. And I just made that up now. And I think it's slightly better than it could be anywhere.
They're not good in school. Because they care about surfing and ninja-ing.
Well, no, they don't care about ninja-ing.
Well, they're
no,
about to.
They only
to.
Care about surfing. About but like the native ethnic dance... When that teacher like doubles down and is like, we picked an ethnic kid, an Asian kid, to do an Asian-inspired dance. I was like, wow, no! You can't do that, white friend, in this movie. No! Oh, it was wild.
And then the dance they choose to do... you know, so they're seeing like...
Also, why is this man at a school?
Yeah, why is he making
a
visit?
Yeah.
That's Woo, by the way. From Deadwood. Oh, okay.
Fucking woo.
Yeah, like his country sent him over to America to visit elementary schools.
I have no reason. And this school does not look like a fancy school at
no,
all.
No, it's a public school.
Why? Yeah, he came to Santa Monica.
Santa Monica public school.
That's where Baba Ram came from. Came to.
And again, it's a movie made in 1993, so all the cool kids are singing this song.
An Asian American student has been persuaded to volunteer and prepare a welcoming presentation, which
that's the part I would play in the movie.
Is in the traditional ethnic style.
Oh, that's it. In the traditional ethnic style. In the traditional ethnic style.
You know, ethnic.
Ethnic! That's crazy. Like, no one flagged that on any level.
Well, I guess it was so they didn't have to, like, pick an Asian place because they picked a fake one.
But he's from Ponsu.
That's fake. I looked it up on Wikipedia.
But wait a second. Now my mind is like, so there's no...
No.
No, there isn't.
No, it's, like, made up, I guess, if people were too scared of China or Taiwan or, like... Korea.
I did look this up also. The island was made up by Joseph Conrad, actually.
Really?
In a book called Lore Jim. Mm-hmm. And essentially the guy, this island, Patusan, I think it was called, is the same island that's in Eddie Reyes Jr. is from in Sidekicks.
Wow.
And
wow.
The guy who wrote this movie wrote the pilot for Sidekicks. So he keeps putting this island into every fucking movie he writes.
And let me tell you something. That was all planted for this moment now.
Right now.
No one has ever... Now, that guy's just like, oh, they get it.
You can stand up, sir. You can stand up.
By the way, you would think that the guy who wrote this movie like went on to write like other famous kid movies. Nope. Passenger 57, Wyatt Earp, Murder in the First, and The Hurricane. These are like fucking serious big deal like movies.
Wait,
like,
what's that Earp movie?
He went, Wyatt Earp.
He what's went in the Earp? Right direction.
Like a,
and
like a Western with Kevin. It's like a less interesting Tombstone with with Kevin Costner.
Okay.
Any,
you know, that's how they described it in the trailer, by the way.
All right, so here's the ethnic song.
Great lighting,
this kid. Ba 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 rum. Ba 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 ba.
The auditorium is really into Baba Ram. Like that's a 60s song.
By the way, that song, the fact it's supposed to show that he doesn't care about school has no effect on him. He just keeps, nothing happens to him because he does that song. I was fucking pissed.
Yeah, he doesn't get into much trouble.
No.
But I guess because he never really goes back to school, like that day happens and then his father's kidnapped, and then...
Oh, you mean Nick Nolte? Yeah, he was kidnapped.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a brief break in the show because I want to tell you about something really important to me, okay? I want to tell you about my friend Squarespace. Squarespace... Well, whatever your next big idea might be, you just count on them to help you create an eye-catching online platform that brings it to life. I don't know why you're not listening to me. I mean, if you are planning on starting a new business or launching a creative project or changing careers, Squarespace beautifully designed templates and customizable features will give you everything you need, okay? And you'll look like an expert right from the start. I mean, you even get a unique domain to set you apart in your field. God damn it. Why aren't you listening to me? So make your move. your next move, your best move, okay? And start your free trial at squarespace.com today. And enter the offer code BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to get 10% off your first purchase. Plus a free domain. That's BONKERS, B-O-N-K-E-R-S. They're award-winning. I love Squarespace. All right, everybody, now back to our show.
Are we going to talk about Tone Loc at all?
It is there for the taking.
Tone Loc usually makes great movies.
Always picks his projects very carefully. This is odd.
I was confused why, what am I supposed to feel about Tone Loc? Am I rooting for him? Like, do I want another older man to be friends with these young boys?
Well, it's odd because Tone Loc is a bad cop, right? We already know that from the get-go. Like, he immediately tells the kids, like, your father's not kidnapped. He just is into bad shit and hiding out. Don't worry about it. He's a scumbag. Your dad's a scumbag. Anyway, good night, kids.
Good night. He's been driving around. He spent all day with those kids.
Yeah. And he's like, ah, there's scumbag. And then he just tags along.
Yeah, decides to go. And then later is ridden. He says that like he hasn't had.
Yeah.
Ridden? Is that a word I can say?
He said he
ridden?
Hasn't had a vacation in 17 months. And so he decides to come along on this journey.
For the laughs, I think it was.
For the laughs. I need some laughs.
You handcuffed me, but I'm here for the laughs.
Yeah.
And we're going to go kill somebody. I can't wait for the laughs.
Like, yeah.
It's a mission to kill.
I'll explain it to my Sarge later.
Okay, so then... Well, I guess the other thing, too, is... we got to talk about Leslie Nielsen.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Can we? Oh, boy. I love that scene where they're fighting and then that elephant comes and stomps on him. And then he becomes half robot.
He's a veiled Darth Vader who at certain points is super goofy, right? And I appreciate that. Like, I was laughing at some of the Leslie Nielsen stuff. But he's also running a full-on torture chamber where people are hanging in, like, prison balls, like
cages.
They're being tortured, like legit tortured and brainwashed. And he also hurts people.
The tone of this movie has like bipolar disorder. Some of the time it's like it's trying to be scary as hell, and other times it's like so goofy, and he's like playing with the voicemail.
That bit made me laugh.
I love that he was just like couldn't get wet, but his entire lair was filled with water. There was water everywhere. What are you doing?
But there's also a good bit where he was like, just kill him, just kill him. Then he's on call waiting. Just kill him.
I laughed out loud at that part too.
But then you see that goofy moment, and then like it's followed by him gouging out someone's eye. Like, he literally then gouges out someone's eye. So you're like, it would be like if Darth Vader just, like, murders a bunch of people and then just starts doing physical comedy, like, slipping on his cape.
By the way,
like, wait.
I was watching this with my wife, and she happened to go on the IMDb message boards, and it said that Leslie Nielsen... in between takes was method and would not break character. Yes. And everyone was scared of him on set. Was like, he was trying to scare them.
Wild.
This is the movie he chose to go method on. Surf ninjas.
Oh man.
Finally a part I can sink my teeth into where I can actually be Daniel Day-Lewis'd it. I mean, he is the best part in the... I mean, he is definitely stands out as being a solid part of the movie. This is Colonel Chi. I guess the other part about him, too, that I think is simple to kind of bring up is, why is he white? Like, he shouldn't...
There's so many white people in this
movie.
Yeah,
there's a lot of white people, yeah.
For like, no reason.
Like, I was like, oh, is he like Tom Cruise's character in The Last Samurai? Is like he was an American who's now been, like, brought into... But he's a leader of these people... But there's no reason to be. Why
there's no reason why they follow him. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
sort of like Apocalypse Now a little bit. Like I thought
so he's like a Colonel Kurtz.
I thought so. Yeah.
But also again, the dad to, who takes yeah. them is also white. Why is yeah. he white?
Don't know.
Is it like too a
message? Is it like a message about like appropriation or something like that?
If an elephant steps on your head. Do you survive that?
No.
Well, no, only one side of his face
recovery.
Got it.
Just one side?
The sand protected the other side.
Oh, the sand. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
okay.
Sand, like, if, yeah, whenever an elephant steps in your face.
As long as there's some sand, you're all right.
Wait, is that real?
No. Oh.
Taking in that information, I was like, I'm going to tell somebody that later.
If you ever,
if you're ever
see an
around elephant,
elephants,
just make sure that I'm saying. Sand.
It's the same backstory for Phantom of the Opera. It's exactly.
But now, I would imagine if he stayed in character, he'd be doing, I guess it would be like bipolar disorder. He'd be being very violent and then super goofy, like whoopee cushions and then slapping a kid in the face.
Why couldn't he answer the phone with that fucking Bluetooth that was attached to his head?
Yeah, he should have had it built in.
Like, what was that thing? That receptionist?
Did they tell us his backstory, like how he became the leader of this?
No, they just show him attacking the town. That's what I'm saying. And he attacks the town in traditional ethnic garb. Like, so he's not coming in like as an American soldier or anything like that. He's already has this thing going on. And we don't even know why he wants Pachisan. It's just an island. It doesn't seem to be any, like, they only
it's
have.
It's not fair to drill down on these kids' movies.
But now Ernie Reyes Jr. is being saved by his dad, who is his uncle. Spoiler alert. And then they bring him into, like, the Pachisan culture. And they go to the Pachisan restaurant, which is introduced with someone going, don't try the chicken. And you're like, oh, this is going to be like a really shitty restaurant. Nope.
No, it's not.
Not at all. Looks like actually a super professional restaurant.
It's like a good, yeah, good place.
Very busy.
Every
nice
dish
shows.
Looks beautiful.
They even go into the kitchen, and I was like, that's a really clean kitchen. Everything is really well plated. Like, they're running it really well there. And then they reveal to Ernie Reyes Jr. that he's going to marry this beautiful girl. She approaches in a veil, and this is the most disturbing part of the movie to me. I believe the first line was, "If they, you know what they say about girls in a veil, if they wear a veil, do better bail."
Yeah, which is true. That's
true. Oh, dude, better bail. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't show her face.
Then pick up the pace.
Like,
to oh, hi,
yeah,
tell
leave,
get the fuck
leave.
Out of here.
I thought it was like, fuck her quickly.
No, no, no.
Go either way. Either run away or fuck her so hard she's pretty.
I like don't you don't yeah, don't fuck her so you have to be like, I wonder what she looks like. Just be like, I'm done, and then you're gone. And now as I said it out loud, I realized that I misunderstood it. I thought it was if they wear a veil, do D-O better bail. And I thought it was like an underage sex joke about being arrested for having underage sex. Like,
were you high when you watched this?
I rewound it twice. Be like, what does that mean? Do better bail. Do better bail. Do better bail. Like, he's gonna get arrested for fucking her. And now I said it out loud. I didn't talk to myself when I watched.
But then
it,
doesn't
so.
Schneider have a good one at the end of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was his? His
it,
was
it
like,
didn't rhyme. It was
right.
like a.
Oh, that was his joke.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Like,
it's like, she's wearing a veil. You better just go to bed. Or so I don't remember what it was. It was something really stupid.
Is Rob Schneider here?
If he Spoiler. Is, I'll tell him. This is bad. Very
but
bad.
What do you think is going on in Rob Schneider's mind to say yes to this movie? He's on SNL, arguably like a recognizable guy from SNL. And, you know, I'm sure that there's only a couple months to shoot stuff. Surf Ninjas comes across your desk.
I think he was like, we're going to Thailand? Fuck yeah. Yes. Are there? Is there a giant staircase there? Yes. I love giant staircases.
It's so odd. It's so odd. I feel like they sold him a wrong bill of goods on this movie. I feel like he didn't know it was like children. He didn't know.
Wait a second. You have a lot of like...
You have a lot of faith in Rob Schneider's choices? Is that what's going on here? You're surprised, Rob Schneider?
There were so many other vehicles that he could have jumped on.
Look, I mean, look, based on his body of work, I'm like, why this one? You've always picked quality. So then they go to the restaurant, and then magic happens, right? Ernie Reyes Jr.'s never done karate before.
Oh, yeah, then his leg starts wiggling. Ooh, I loved that little leg.
I love that you got into his, like, his body and his... Oh. I mean, he's a man, like, possessed by Taekwondo. But yet, I'm also thinking, now, Adam, who has the Sega Genesis, which was so... nicely built into the film, so organically placed in the movie. Oh, did I tell you that Sega financed the movie? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's what happened. And that the screenwriter had to write sequences that would be good in a video game and a movie.
Is that true?
Simultaneously.
Yeah. That explains a lot. I wish I had known that prior to taking mushrooms and watching this.
Yeah. Sega financed the movie, and they began to develop the game at the same time, and then the game was released before the film. And I love that in the video game, Leslie Nielsen's character is like, we're going to send them to hell like their father. Like, the character is cursing in the game.
The best part of that Game Gear thing that... it predicted the future or whatever it is. It was always like seconds before the thing happened.
Yeah, it was literally like looking at like, it's basically an iPhone. Yeah. You're like looking at maps on your iPhone,
yes.
But you can see the car that's about to hit you.
Yeah. It doesn't help you at all.
At all.
Yeah.
But it takes away some of the violence because when you watch two cops get their throats slashed, which did happen in this children's movie, on a video game screen, it's not as bad as seeing it in real life. Like, these two cops were fucking straight up Colombian necktied, but you saw it on a little Sega Game Gear screen. There was what I liked about this movie too is like at a certain point they definitely ran out of money because they're like, you know, maybe in this sequence we'll do like the Indiana Jones effect where we'll show the plane going over the map. And the guy's like, great. How about we give you a little boat and you give you the
map? Drag it across.
And how about the boat that we put you on? We do the same way we did the surfing where you fucking stand in a parking lot and we'll just whip the camera around you. Like, that boat is not going anywhere. That's my problem. I like real sailing.
I just thought of this. Ernie Reyes Jr. looks possessed by Taekwondo, but is Adam controlling him?
Oh.
Or is Adam just watching?
Huh.
Hold on, now wow, none of this wow, shit wow. is funny.
Because it seems like I would say he would. Then why? Like I guess my question is, Adam then just has this Game Gear that he just watches and does nothing with.
But it builds up to the point where he actually looks out in the real world at those trees and he sees them. Great graphics, by the way. He sees them become surfboards, so he actually becomes a seer. So he realizes his power.
But yet, at the end of the movie, he goes back to the Game Gear to start controlling it again. He's like, it was cool when I saw stuff, but I'm going to go back to the thing I'm most comfortable with, the Game Gear. There's a gun and a Game Gear on the ground. He grabs the Game Gear. I would grab the gun. I would shoot the bad guy. I wouldn't rest my laurels on controlling a Game Gear version of the guy, because then he starts controlling the other guy.
Yeah, you're getting way too deep for me. But I like for kids that for that moment when he looks at those trees and he sees surfboards, there's like one kind of pops up and then like another one, and then they probably figured like, but there are going to be some kids that are too dumb to get what we're doing. So then like the surfboards like pop up closer and closer. So like even the like kids that were like born yesterday are like, oh, okay, yeah, you can make a surfboard out of a tree. Okay.
So then...
But then it cuts to a fucking expensive helicopter shot of like 40 dudes surfing.
No, not surfing, paddling.
No paddling.
There was no surfing. Fucking surfing in that movie.
But it was from a helicopter,
it was from
right?
a helicopter, yeah.
That's expensive.
Well, then... It was a six-hour paddling. How quickly did they chop down those trees Like that's a, that would sense. Have been a month of work.
I mean, yeah. Ethnic people work hard.
So they did it for half the price, and they did it twice the time. There's also a joke. Again, there's weird jokes in this, like where the kid falls in a hole and he goes, I found Waldo. And then like Tony Loke is like, really? Wait, hold on. What? Why?
But then the joke is psych. Again,
yeah,
isn't
yeah it was psych. Psych. It was
psych. But it's also like, really? The fictional character in a book, like.
Well, because the 45-year-old guy
another
wrote
reference.
It.
Yeah, it was like, another
what,
reference.
What do kids know about Waldo?
Waldo. Fucking Waldo. And we didn't talk about the sequence that drives the brother and the brothers to go.
Yeah.
Like the when Les Nielsen comes in and basically he murders their parents.
Yeah.
And the uncle is telling them this story and they're rolling their fucking yeah. eyes. The
oh
entire
yeah.
Time.
The I'm like, whole what? Yeah, that drives the whole movie.
Yeah,
they're bored to tears.
To tears.
They're leaning against that rock and they're like
come
oh,
on. I'm
fuck.
Like, your parents
we
were fucking
know.
Murdered. Oh my God.
We
shut
know.
Up.
We killed our parents. Our parents get murdered all the time. We want to serve.
But I don't think at that moment they believed it.
They believed it?
So
okay.
They're like, this is just a story. Our dad's white.
But why was that guy, and why was that guy ever in Patusan?
It's wild.
Like, that guy was
like
a
know.
Cook in Patusan?
Yeah, and he's just chilling in a boat in that story. So he's just there.
Oh, yeah, they said he was a sailor. They said he was a sailor that worked for them. But yeah, but he was the same age. Yeah. Like maybe they just put like a clean shirt on him.
And so odd that he then comes to the States to open up a restaurant that, of course, doesn't serve Patusan food, just like burgers and shakes. So he leaves his shipping world behind him to open like a cool diner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also they didn't react to him to the dad having finding out that they were adopted. Like, yeah, I found out I was adopted last night. And then they just move on from that subject.
Yeah, nothing really impacts people.
No,
in this movie,
in this movie
when they're like, "That's your uncle," they were like, "Great." Uncle. And I was like, what? No.
Well, like, they take a swing at like a heartfelt scene on a couch at some point early on where the younger brother says like, hey bro, I'm feeling something. Like I'm feeling like not so cowabunga or whatever. and the older brother goes like, everything's gonna be chill, dude. You know, like so they kind of were
have
like
that moment, yeah.
Trying to like, oh, maybe we should have him be sad, but let's not have him be too sad.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll also argue that for the romance in this movie, because I watch these movies for the romance, and I did not find there to be that much chemistry between.
No.
Those kisses were weird. There's
those
a couple
kisses were
kisses.
Weird.
Yeah, if I were
she's
him,
she's a bad kisser, or he's a bad kisser.
Don't put it on her. Come on.
I felt like she was coming in too aggressively, and he had to like kind of monitor for that. Like she's coming in like hard, and he's like.
Well, more importantly, I was bummed out by the whole female empowerment bullshit message at the end where she's like, I want to marry who I want to marry. I was like, fuck, this is Trump's America. You know, I was pissed.
Well, but by the way, well, let's play that scene where she like drops some feminism on him here.
I know I talked a lot about marrying you and being queen and everything.
I know, no problem. As soon as we rescue my dad, I'll tell him. And then we can go out.
Johnny, listen. Look. All my life, I've been doing
umbrella.
Everything that was expected of a traditional Patusani girl.
And?
Well, and who do my parents think they are, telling me who I'm going to marry? I mean, I'll decide who I'm going to marry, not them.
Bullshit.
That is, if I marry. I mean, that was a really swell kiss and all, but I just didn't want to hurt your feelings about the marriage thing.
He is confused. Bad kiss.
Yeah, weird kiss.
We can still date, right?
He's really into her.
Okay.
Dude,
so
better do better bail.
Are we sure he's 29? I don't know.
I think he's older, but I think she was like, I got to play a little hard to get, so he works a little bit. So when he finally deep dicks me, it's worth it.
Right. She doesn't want him to be assuming that deep dick will come for free.
Yeah.
I buy that, but because she definitely, like, is a little bit like what she, whatever she said to those, that team of guys that are, yeah, are going to, and I don't think this is a terrible thing to assume, gang rape her. Because she says,
well,
something,
I don't know
where
if it's gang,
like,
rape
what?
If you're the one saying, come here and we'll do this fun thing.
Yeah, she, yeah, said, and he goes, what did you say to them? And she goes, don't worry, I'll tell you on our wedding night. So it was,
she's going to whisper, yeah, to him, gang rape me.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was an odd, I felt weird by it because I felt like she was young and those guys were way older. Mm-hmm. This movie has a lot of hard themes. Like, if I brought my child to see this, I'd be like, how do we describe that scene? I wrote down that it was interesting that Playboys were in this movie. Smoking and Playboys, both in this movie. Mm-hmm. Something you would never see in a children's movie.
Well, the smoking comes in when he's throwing the unlit sticks of dynamite. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the smoking is like a hero. It's like, well, Rob Schneider is throwing unlit sticks of dynamite going like, I got one. And then they're like, light it. I don't have a lighter. Somebody goes, here. The guy with the eye patch is like, I got one because I fucking smoke.
But then he also says,
you should always smoke.
No,
kids.
He says, I know I should quit. So it was like a message to America to quit smoking or save the world. Your choice.
And then Rob Schneider looks into camera and is like, oh, I can't do anything about it.
What does he say?
He's like, look who I'm talking to or something that.
He goes, you should try the patch.
Yes.
He has an eye patch.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That must have been right when the patch came out.
It also felt like, honestly, why did the director at that point, by the way, Rob, you were saying that you should be the teacher in the thing. That actually was a director.
Great guy.
Like, why did the director go at that point, like, yeah, now we've passed the point of
absurdity. It's the patch joke. Even the writer is like, we got it. This is too broad. We have to have him look at camera to cut the broadness
and
a little
what
bit.
Child
we're aware
gonna,
of it.
What child is going to go, I get that joke?
Yeah. It's like the old-fashioned Warner Brothers cartoon. It works on two levels. For parents and kids. The parents get the gang rape. The kids get the male jokes.
Yeah.
What about that clip of that little, like, they do a parade, a really shitty parade?
They phoned that fucking in. They phoned that in. They were like, look, guys, we're losing the light. We got 3 minutes to shoot a pretty big parade scene.
What does the music sound like? We don't know.
We haven't bought it yet. We don't know. It's going to be library music. We should talk about the music in this movie also.
Oh, my God.
The opening line of this movie is, turn that Van Halen down.
Not Van Halen.
It's not Van Halen. It's not even close to the... It's like the same... It's the director's friend's band.
Yeah.
Going like, I watched this movie with the subtitles on, and the lyrics are all like... We're gonna win the baseball game tonight.
I saved a little clip of one of them because it's like when they all are surfing on the beach, the music is amazing. Where is it? Oh my gosh. It's so like sweaty 80s rock from like a B-side of an album.
Let's get back to the hood. Won't none of the homies help me again.
I'll get the ocean. Here we go.
Another day is done. Still the hunger burns inside of me.
Keep paddling, guys. Keep paddling. We don't have enough. Okay, I take it back. This is not a helicopter. This is just a cliff.
It's a 10-mile paddle.
I thought they surfed at one point. You're right.
At the end, they surfed. Right before the shore.
Okay. It's the worst way to infiltrate. Like, just 40 people paddling.
I also forgot about that line that he's going to go back to the hood and nobody's going to want to talk to him. I was like, why? Because because you did a surf?
Yeah.
No, I think they're not going to talk to him. I think they're not going to talk to him because he eats his police key and shits it out every week.
That was my favorite.
That was
my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, that was
hands
I
down.
I paused it now. I wrote that down.
Yes.
I was like, I got to remember that joke. That's like a great.
Every Tuesday he eats his police key and then sifts through his own shit.
And then eats it again.
Yes.
And then the young kid, kind of grimaces there. He's like,
why? What? Like he just came. He just like unlocked the handcuffs. He should have. Shit all over his hands.
Like, all what? Over.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
I mean, you could also just keep the key in your pocket.
Yeah.
Not gonna eat it.
In like a small, you know, the wallets have those small little pockets. Just put it in there. Put it in your wallet.
But also, is he timing his shits? Like,
yeah, it takes him a week. He eats his shit every Tuesday.
Doesn't shit for an entire week. Yeah. Then digs through it with his hands after he shits.
I want
just
see.
To open the hand.
Like the way that Rogue One bridges the gap between, the Revenge of the Sith and Star Wars. I would like to see the bridging of the gap of Tone Loc getting on that boat sifting through his shit. You're like, just him as a prisoner underneath the wall.
And it's wild that he's more concerned about everyone in the hood knows that he surfed than he like sifts through his own shit.
And by the way,
sure your friends wouldn't talk to
gonna,
you.
Who's gonna tell the people in his neighborhood that he surfed? I'm sure that's a secret you could keep pretty quiet.
They're like he says my homies in the hood, like all of his homies, like, we don't care, man. You fucking eat your shit. That's why we don't hang out with you.
We don't care because you're a cop now. You're above us. We hate you. Like his
there's no way this is Photoshop, is there?
Island. During that parade. They then cut to that girl. It looks like a clip out of a National Geographic thing. Like this like little girl playing with a doll in like a hut. It's oddly like, I was like, whoa. Like that, like, tonally, again, way off. Like that seemed like a real like, homeless girl.
That felt like stock footage to me where they were like, well, we need some more kids. I don't know, Steve, just fucking buy something. Throw it in there.
She looked legit
homeless. And they
found
like a starving like child.
Or she's a great actress. I don't know.
All right, here's the deal, people. You know, the first thing I want to do when I wake up in the morning is turn on some music, right? It just changes the atmosphere in my house and immediately puts me in a better mood. But even with my speakers on full volume, I could never hear what was playing throughout my house until I got Sonos, right? Because Sonos is a wireless home sound system that fills your home with pulse-pounding sound. I'm being very serious right now. I love Sonos. Why? Because you have these powerful speakers are something different. They're not advertised on the show. I hate speakers. It's a way of spaying and neutering your dog that is very unsafe. Anyway, Sonos speakers are amazing. They come in all different sizes and shapes. You can get ones that are super portable. You can get ones you can even install in, if you own a house, like in the ceiling. I have that in my house. And you can play it in any room, and you can also kind of coordinate all the speakers. So you can walk from your kitchen to the living room, and it's all the same song, and you're hearing it just as loud as in the other room. No tricky programming. It's just very easy. It's all working over Wi-Fi. They have a great app that's so easy to use. You have all your music hooked up there. You can have your Spotify. You can have your iTunes. You can have your books. You can have your TuneIn. Everything is on there. It's so, so good. One app to control them all, just like Lord of the Rings. They didn't say that. I did. Plus, you can also split it up. Like if your wife wants to listen to one thing or your boyfriend or girlfriend want to listen to one thing in one room, you guys can. And then you can keep a happy relationship or happy roommate, because I can be listening to, you know, my music, which of course is hardcore violin classical. And I'd say hardcore because it's really like hard. It's a very hard violin. And then June can be in the other room listening to gangster rap. And we don't have to ever cross paths in life or in music. So anyway, go to enjoy the sounds that you love. Go to Sonos.com to learn more. Go to Sonos.com, S-O-N-O-S. I love Sonos. I have loved them before they were a sponsor. I think they are absolutely great. Go to Sonos.com, S-O-N-O-S.com. Hey, everybody. Do you like Blake J. Harris and all the amazing interviews he does? We're spinning him off into his own show. That's right. He'll have his own exclusive Howl Stitcher Premium show called origin stories. How did this get made? Origin stories. They are fantastic. Head on over to Howl or Stitcher Premium and use the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, to listen for free to our good friends, Blake J. Harris.
Let's talk about this final fight scene. And I, the only way I can talk about the final fight scene is to say Leslie Nielsen's dick. Did you guys catch how I felt like the end of the movie was Adam making Leslie Nielsen jerk off, but Leslie Nielsen grabbed such a nice handful of that dick that I was like, what is going on here?
The way you said that is so disrespectful to dead people, Paul. He grabbed such a nice handful of that dick.
Let's see, like, here, I just want to, because I... Wait, I just want to make... Okay. Do you see how big that dick is? Like,
it's a kid's movie. He's not going to have a little dick.
And it almost appears like the dick is robotic, too, because like, it's a big, beefy Leslie Nielsen dick there.
Are we sure? I thought that was... I thought... I guess... Okay.
I thought it was
his balls. But if you... Can you rewind?
That's what I thought, but you can see the dick.
And you can see the balls. Look. They're almost to the left, like to the left, like left.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. there they are.
Yeah, you can like see his urethra.
I want this to be my screensaver.
Oh,
that is... Wow.
I wonder if he requested that, like, guys, use the shot that makes my dick look huge.
Holy shit.
Well, this was method also, by the way. He really jerked his cock off.
let's go to the audience here to see if you guys have anything that we might have missed. Oh, we have a lot of questions so far. Yes. I'm going to go to first hand. All right. Sir, yes. All right. What's your name and your best kwansu? I want to hear you really approach this audience and give them a nice kwansu.
My name is Val, and kwansu, dudes!
Excellent.
Kwansu.
Question.
Okay, towards the beginning, or towards the middle, they show him sharpening what looks to be an electric knife.
Yeah.
That's Leslie Nielsen sharpening a knife to cut off a guy's dick, right?
Yeah, so what is up with that? Why is he sharpening? It's a big whetstone. He's just there sharpening.
Yeah, he's sharpening an electric knife. Good point. I just was more concerned about what he was going to do with that knife and go, this is a children's movie. That's a good point, a fair point. Let's see. Let me go back here a little bit. All right, sir, your best kwansu and your question.
Kwansu, dudes!
All right, okay.
Kwansu.
Kwansu.
How long before that gets old?
I was concerned with the transportation of goods in this movie. So they go
the transportation of goods.
The island, but the dynamite that they have is bone dry.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, during the credits, when they have, you know, the band set and the electric guitars, did they bring those ahead of time in anticipation?
Wait. I love that you frame this as transportation of goods. I have to get this into one big Venn diagram. It's transportation of goods.
Well, no, I agree with you. The movie is pretty solid except for that one point.
Everything else makes sense, but the logistics of how goods get from point A to point B.
By the way, when Rob Schneider is throwing that dynamite and they're like, you idiot, you gotta light it. That's a joke, but it's a bit of a funnier joke if he hadn't just effectively thrown the dynamite, knocked somebody out, and killed a Jeep full of people. Like, he was doing fine.
Yeah, he was doing good.
And
yeah,
maybe without murdering them, too. Just like pushing them off the road. The explosion actually just incinerated 24 human beings.
I'm looking at dueling notebooks here, and I like them both. Who do you think? What do you think? What do you think has the best notes? I'm gonna go with you. You have a broken hand or something. You're injured. All right, that's your question.
And Saquon Su. Yeah,
of course. It's unspoken.
I'm sorry, I shit on Kwon
Su. Kwon Su, dudes.
All right.
Kwon Su.
I want to hear it. Guys, it's a big audience. We've got to sell the Kwon Su.
By the way, do that anywhere else but in this room, and you're not going to get shit.
So I had a big issue with the geography in this movie. So,
okay.
In the beginning of the movie, they say that Pachusan is 13,000 miles away from L.A., but it's impossible to be 13,000 miles away from anywhere in the world.
But other than that, the movie makes sense.
Yeah. So the circumference of the...
Wait, what if you're up in space?
Well, so the circumference of the Earth at the equator is 24,901 miles. So the farthest that you can be from any two points is 12,450 miles.
Amazing. That is amazing.
I love that the demographic for this podcast is like college professors.
Oh, you have another point? You have another point. If it's as good as that one, I would now really think about it because you just scored so high. You're going back in. All right, let's see.
Yeah, you're about to get laid. Don't fuck it up.
The boat sailing from the United States to Pachusan, they show it sailing from the East Coast.
Yeah.
But we're not on the East Coast. We're in L.A.
So. Wow, that's interesting, too. All right, it's good. It is good. It wasn't as good as the first one, though. Let it be a lesson. You quit while you're ahead. You, yes, come on. All right, let's hear your Kwon Su and then your question.
Okay, thank you.
Kwon Su,
dance! Kwon
Su. All right, I'll hold the microphone.
So, are we sure that there wasn't like a sequel that was coming and it was going to be like Rob Schneider's character was secretly the son of Leslie Nielsen's character?
Oh.
Write it!
Get
Write it!
In and pitch this movie.
So he really is a king.
In a way.
Oh, well, right, because Chi, Colonel, yeah, well. Yeah.
Turn off the lights again. None of this is funny anymore.
did you catch the kind of the innuendo when Rob Schneider was like, I got to wax my surfboard?
I thought
he was going to go masturbate.
I thought it was
the Skip and Todd who walked by. He's like, hey, Skip, hey, Todd.
I thought the joke was that his board was so covered in wax that that's all he did. Because the board was disgusting looking, as if all he did was all day just wax it up with cum. Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey.
Ponsu, dudes.
Ponsu.
Wait, did he say Ponsu?
He did say like Ponsu.
Get the fuck out of here. Get out.
It was
Kwon Su.
It was the best one that we've gotten, but totally wrong. Yes, sir.
Kwon Su, dudes.
Good.
Kwon Su.
Troy Kitty, I wanted to go back to the little kid controlling things because when they're in the restaurant, he gets a choice to choose a different animal, and he chooses the octopus. So it's like, oh, we're going to see like he's going to control an octopus. Then he has to find the octopus and then shoves it in the guy's face. Then he gets 500 points, and I don't know what the points are for.
He seems excited about those points.
Yes.
But you know what? I think the best way to kind of answer that question is talk to him. Adam, are you here right now? The gentleman who played...
What? Kwon Su!
Kwon Su!
Come over here. Come on over. Let's talk. I'm sorry. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Tell me your name again. I'm sorry.
Nick Cowan.
Nick. Welcome, Nick. Thank you.
Kwon Su.
Kwon Su, Nick.
Thank you for being a part of this. First of all, let's hear about it. Where were you in your career when you got this movie? Was it like, were you like, was it the first thing for you? Let's walk through it a little bit.
It's probably the first and biggest thing. I did some commercials and some TV stuff, but
Were you psyched to work with Ernie Reyes Jr.? I mean, I'm asking that in an earnest way.
Absolutely. He was from the Ninja Turtles, so you know. Yeah. That's like a big deal when you're like 12.
Yeah, 100%. Anything now as you're an adult, you look back on it and you go, oh, that was suspect.
A lot of the stuff you brought up, I didn't even think about until you started talking. Like Tone Loc shitting out his key like week after week is pretty fucked up.
Now, you have this benefit, which I think is the best part of it, is like you have been in Surf Ninjas, but if you walk into a CVS, people aren't going to be like, Surf Ninjas. So that's a good thing. That is a good thing.
Absolutely.
No, they would be like, Kwon Su.
That like all the time. I go into like grocery stores and yell Kwon Su.
When do you drop that on a friend, a new friend, a girlfriend? Is it something that you lead with, or is it one that you hold back? Because I would imagine I would hold back and then like watch them like you're dropping like a new phone.
Every time, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to like get to know people for a long time before, and if they brought it up themselves, I'd be like, oh, I was in that.
Yeah. Wait, did you bring it up?
No, he did. I knew him for like a year and a half. And my mind just exploded. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Kwon Su, dude.
I will say this though, like in my 20s, I would kind of like use it on girls. Like,
and by the way, you should, and that was smart. All right, there. Well, obviously, we've talked about a lot of things. What was your knowledge of? Obviously, you were selling the Sega Game Gear. Did you get a free Sega Game Gear out of it?
Did, yeah.
All right, good.
It's completely broken. Those things like suck.
Guys, don't get Sega Game Gears. Yeah.
Did you know that the movie was, like, as a kid, did you know that the movie was financed by Sega?
No.
Okay.
But now, did you understand what you were doing? Because obviously that was a question about, were you, like, I had a question, were you controlling Ernie Reyes Jr.? Were you, like, what do you know of what did you know, what, in your actor's mind at that point, and we're talking about the 12-year-old you, What was your assumption about that?
I thought I was controlling him. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
I was. Yeah.
You were, and then you were almost controlling yourself when you selected Octopus, because then you picked up the Octopus, even though you are.
Yeah, that one's weird.
And who is controlling this?
I'm gonna have to say that.
Listener, I'm pointing to Leslie Nielsen's dick. Listener.
Was there talk of a Surf Ninjas 2, like on set, like was that the plan or is it just a one?
Around the time of like premiere and stuff, yeah. There was kind of like talk.
Buzz. I would have liked to have seen it. We could have done a double feature tonight. Yes.
Oh, what was that Leslie Nielsen like?
Oh yeah, was he in character? Did he sing character?
I met him once, because we don't really share any screen time. So I approached him to take a photo, and I think he thought I was probably just like an extra.
Wow. But did you hear from anyone else that he was in character? Or is that just something that's...
I've never heard that. No, that was news to me, if that's true.
But yeah. But you did not have anything to do with the death of Leslie Nielsen.
No comment.
This is... I'm so excited that you came here. Do we have any other questions for Nick? Do you anything you want to share that we haven't asked that you think...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Do you surf? Do you know how to surf?
Are you a ninja?
No and no.
No and no.
They wouldn't pay for you to surf, huh?
I was afraid of the ocean.
Really? Did you even paddleboard? Did you get the paddleboard?
We tried to do like a scene of us coasting in. I couldn't do it. I'm like this big now and I was that big then. So the ocean is a very scary thing.
By the way, you did a great job in the movie, man.
Yeah,
like I really thought you were great.
I think my quick judgment of it is I have nothing to say about anyone's performance. The logic is where it is really, because like I buy that you guys had a good relationship as brothers and stuff like that. My question is this though, Tone Loc. Yeah. Tone Loc comes on set. Is he, what's any memories, any Tone Loc memories?
It was really hot there. It was Thailand. It was humid. Like really nasty humid.
Yeah.
And in between takes, he started singing a song about a mosquito being on his dick. It was like,
that means his dick's out.
On my Peter.
just out.
I love it. Give it up for Nick. Thank you for this movie. Thank you for coming. You're the best. Holy shit. That was amazing. So, I don't think we could top Nick. I mean, no, none of your questions can top that. He's fucking there. He answered everything. That is awesome. Thank you so much for coming out. Now, before we get into the end of the show here, I want to say how the movie ends, which is, I think, one of the best things, because they reprise one of the classic hit numbers from the film, and it goes something like this. So they save the day. Everything is good. And where is it?
There are a few background people here in this scene that did not know what the fuck was going on.
The background people never did. Like, even after...
Well, this is Thailand, so I can imagine there's some... I mean, we're still confused about the movie ourselves, and we've been talking about it for 2 hours.
And we talked to someone who's in it. So this is how it ends. You think, wow, cool, they won, they saved the day. Leslie Nielsen's dick got ripped off. It's a great kids movie, and then...
As my future queen and I go off to take our SATs, remember, we're all created equal. Because I was born into royalty, I'm no different from you. Put my face on a stamp, 50-cent piece, and let's call it a day.
That's, a, now, by the way, people, a big ass.
I'm out of here.
Like, he's like, hey, I don't... He's like, sorry. He's like, you know, look, I don't want any accolades. Just put my name on a stamp or whatever.
Yeah. Giving the government back to the people. It's like Baron Trump.
And here we go. So everyone's celebrating.
Ba 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 Baran. Ba 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 Baran. Ba ba ba.
And then the guy from the beginning is back. He loved that song so much.
They really leave. Yeah, I don't know. They told him to go nuts in the scene.
Went to a dance looking for a man. Saw Ba Baran, so I went to the
trance. Ba Baran.
Like, Bill, take it down just a notch.
You got me rocking and a rolling, rocking and a reeling, Barbaran, ba 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 Barbaran,
ba 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 Barbaran.
Look at the fucking elephant.
I wonder if they got a new elephant or if that's the same one that stomped on his face.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for second opinions.
The movie was a piece of shit, yet this person recommends it. Tell me, what is the message? Maybe that art is subjective.
That was John LaJoie with his second opinion song. A beautiful second opinion song. These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com for the film Surf Ninjas. This one we'll lead off with is from, written by someone calling themselves the Unknown Warrior. The title of the review is awesome. And it goes like this. One of the greatest Filipino movies in the universe. The surf ninjas are not really ninjas, but Filipino warriors. And the fictional country of Patusan is really the Philippines. Of course, Ernie Reyes Jr. and Robbie Schneider are Filipino. The world will never understand the true power of the Filipino warrior. We are like the air, and we are like the water. We are present, but unnoticeable. 5 stars.
My favorite part of that is just Robbie Schneider.
Robbie Schneider. This is written by Paul Jameson, and it goes like this. I guess this would be classified as a delightful fantasy full of youthful vigor. Pretty good guess. Pretty specific guess. I enjoyed it for what it was. Escapism. The main characters are young, handsome, that's to you, Nick, virile. Youths who defy convention come out on top and save the world to boot, all at the same time with a smile and a joke. It is, of course, ridiculous. But who cares? 5 stars.
Oh my God. It sounds like Tony Bennett wrote that review.
Yeah, why are adults... Why isn't this children like, I like applesauce.
Mimi J got a little confused in her 5-star review. My son, now 34, loved the Three Ninjas.
So think how old this
so
mom is.
She's at least 50.
She wrote this July 16th. My son, now 34, loved the Three Ninjas movies growing up. And now his son, 3 years old, and his daughter, 10 years old, love it too.
Wait, the 3-year-old has a 10-year-old daughter?
Guys, you're missing the big part. She thinks
said
it's Three Ninjas, which is another
movie.
A movie called Three Ninjas. This is called Surf Ninjas. The movies are good, clean entertainment without any use of offensive language, not even any gray area, which is not found in many movies today. I highly recommend it for kids of all ages. I'm glad she didn't see this movie with the dick grab, rape scene, house explosions, throat slashing. And then finally, this is by a man calling himself Dorito. And it goes like this. Buy it! It's simple. Really, really simple. Buy it! If you have never seen the movie, don't worry. Buy it! You'll love it. I guarantee it. Or you love nothing. At least go to the video store and rent it. Then, buy it! And if you're not gonna buy it, send me your money and I'll buy it for you and keep it for myself. If you see or hear anyone with a negative of this movie, it's really simple. They're wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong! 5 stars.
That one's perfect.
When was that review written?
By the way, Nick, in my research here, it says Nicholas Cowan said that Leslie Nielsen was legitimately intimidating. You've been misquoted, my friend.
When was that last review written?
That last review was written
after Tone Loke changed his name to Dorito.
It was written in 2003. We'll go down the 10 years after the movie came out. So we'll go down the line, and I'll just ask. So obviously, you know, we're watching this film for this purpose. There are some movies that we watch that are very good, that are fun to watch, fun bad, and there are some that are not fun bad. What would you say, Gil? Is this a movie you would recommend the audience listening to watch this movie?
Yes. It was fun. And bad. It was fun, bad. Fun first, bad second.
I agree with that. I recommend it as well. Nicole?
I would recommend fast-forwarding it until he takes off his shirt and watching it from there, because truly you get the whole story. You're like, all right, surf ninjas, they're fighting a white man. Great.
Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer it. But because Ernie Reyes is of age now.
Yeah.
Could you a fantasy of Ernie Reyes?
Why do I have to have a fantasy? Why can't I just fuck him? I'll Fair find point. Him! Nick, where is he?
Well, Nicole will be available after the show. You can tell her where he is. Rob?
To be honest, Paul, I prefer the book.
I know that, and if you do prefer the book, you can definitely get the novel, Surf Ninjas the novel.
Shut up!
On
Amazon. It is so fucking funny!
Shut up!
On Amazon, written by A.L. Singer.
You have that in case I said that?
I have.
Are you controlling me with a Sega?
I have a Sega Game Gear underneath the chair here. It doesn't work great, but you can get it on Amazon for 1 cent used. And they got 21 copies.
Can you
still
click
left.
On the author's name? Oh, is that on the link?
It's just a screen grab. Oh, yeah.
And there's one review. I'm dying to know what that review is.
I wish.
Buy it.
A.L. Singer.
And by the way, just so you can see, Nicole, this is Ernie Reyes now and then.
Yeah, he can still get it.
He's got it. He's got it, and he'll keep it. All right. So we all recommend it, except for Rob. Who prefers the book. Obviously, if you have an opinion, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 619-PAUL, P-A-U-L, ASK, A-S-K, 619-PAUL-ASK, and you can leave your own opinions about the movie, anything that we didn't cover. If you're Ernie Reyes Jr., if you're the director, you can call that number as well.
If you're Rob Schneider, please stop calling.
But let's talk about what you guys are up to. Thank you guys for joining us in the How This Get Made All-Stars. Rob, what do you got coming up? Do you want to tell people about?
We're starting a new season of Transparent pretty soon.
Yep.
In February. And I'd plug
and,
that.
And right now, when the audience is listening to this, Drive Share will be available on Go 90.
That's right. You and I did a TV show called Drive Share. Both of these people are in that TV show.
Yes, they are. Very funny.
That's right.
In that show.
It's all, it's just funny people in Ubers. That's how it is, right?
Yeah, it's funny Uber rides.
Yeah, it's funny Uber rides.
130 different Uber rides.
Yeah, we shot it in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Nicole, talk to us. What do you got?
What isn't happening? No, I'm kidding. My life's really slow right now, but you can watch Loosely Exactly Nicole on Hulu and MTV.com.
It's a super funny show.
Thank you. I think really it's really funny. Who knows if we'll get a second season? MTV's a mess. I'll say that because it's true.
It's true. It started off, Rob and I did a show there. It was a mess back then.
Yeah, it's
pretty messy. We did a show paired with 3-6 Mafia. You know, they were great. A real fun sitcom-y show with 3-6 Mafia, followed by Human Giant. Really two great tastes that go great together. Gil?
I just wrote for a show called Big Mouth for Netflix. That's coming out soon, so look out for that.
Well, who's in that? What's that?
Nick Kroll, John Mulaney are in it. And, I don't know, my Snapchat, I guess.
I think, by the way, you should plug the Snapchat. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Yeah,
thank you.
They can follow you, and what is
Gil
it?
Gil Ozeri, yeah.
Okay. This is his name. Follow him. And
follow
it's
me.
Legitimately the funniest thing you'll see, and ridiculous production
value. There's a lot of production value. I don't get how you do that. It's awesome.
Gil is my friend. I felt nervous to even ask him about certain things because I felt like I was fanning out about his Snapchat. That's how impressive the things are. I'm like, wait, how did you do that though? How did you get to LAX? You know, because it's insane. It's amazing. He literally put himself in a suitcase in one of them and traveled from his house with his head out of a suitcase all the way to LAX and got super far into LAX.
Yeah, didn't you get put on the conveyor
belt? Yeah, I got put on the conveyor
belt. Which is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And everyone just acts like it's so, they're perfect.
Yeah, no, it was
they're
a TSA agent who put
they're
me
so
on
funny.
There, yeah. It was.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's why a man checked a gun and shot people in Florida. Because they're doing your silly Snapchat!
Sorry.
You can follow us at How Did This Get Made on Twitter or just HDTGM. And on Facebook, sign up for our mailing list. A big thank you to Avril Halley, who cuts all of these amazing clips, finds all of these great pieces. Nate Kiley, who does all of our research. July Diaz up in the booth, Marissa Zeitz, who pulls this whole thing together, Leanna Waldron, who designed some of our cool stuff, everybody here at Largo, everybody here at Earwolf, thank you all, we'll see you next time.
Quantu!
That's it for our show. Make sure you tune in next week for our mini episode where you get in on the act. You can give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK, 619-PAULASK, and leave your comments and suggestions about what we might have missed from Surf Ninjas. Also, just a reminder, check out Blake J. Harris's brand new podcast called Origin Stories, available on HAL and Stitcher Premium. It is well worth the wait. I'll tell you why. He finds out who kills JFK in the second episode. Yeah, so definitely check that shit out. I love you so much. Go to go90.com and watch Drive Share. I've already said that once in the show. I'm just saying it again. So we got so much to tell you. Give me a call at 619-PAUL-ASK or leave a comment on the message board for our mini episode next week. Bye-bye.
Hey, you made the mistake of not turning off your podcast in time, so now you have to hear this cross promotion for Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast in the magical land of Foon, hosted by me, a human from Chicago.
And me, Usador, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius.
And me, Chunt. I'm a shapeshifter, but I'm mostly a badger. But I guess I've also been an alligator and a tiny horse with a top hat.
If you want a fully improvised comedy fantasy epic, this is the show for you. You can start at the beginning and binge your way all the way up to episode 100, or honestly, just jump in on a new episode. It's not The Wire. You'll get it.
I join us, and we shall entertain thee hour after hour, o'er and o'er.
Also, speaking of The Wire, who's Stringer Bell again? Wait, which one whistles?
I don't want to talk about Earth stuff.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.
It's Ashir
and Nicole
from Best Friends.
Our podcast has been out for a few months.
If you haven't listened to it,
you should.
We've already asked the big questions in life.
Imagine if we could lay eggs. Okay, sure. I guess we...
Wouldn't that be funny if you could eat from yourself?
No, because that's like cannibalism.
Not when you eat yourself.
What?
Hmm?
Answer listener questions.
Hi, Nicole and Sashir. What happens if Sashir dies first? I mean, I've never thought of it.
Well,
I would be so sad.
Oh no, Nicole. I'm not gonna die.
Take BuzzFeed quizzes. Let's pick 8 foods and we'll give you a sex position to try.
Whoa.
This is wild.
Plus, we bring on other funny best friends to talk about their friendship.
I almost want to cry. I don't know why that really made me feel emotional, but
it's because it's pure to talk about friendship.
It's nice.
It's so nice.
It's like so rare to like articulate it, but she's always there for me. Like I think she's just somebody who
Oh, I love this. I love it so much.
Oh my God.
It's really sweet.
Best Friends with Nicole Byer and Sashir Zameda is new every Wednesday.
On Stitcher,
Apple Podcasts,
Spotify, or wherever
you get
your
podcasts.
Listen.
Oh my God,